We're waiting for technology. I don't know if it's the technology or the operator, but we're waiting. Well, good evening, everybody. I'm busy with a series on understanding curses. And what I would like to do tonight is I want to share with you some examples that I've had in my own life and in my ministry. To be honest with you, I can probably share with you a couple of thousand, but I can't remember all of them. Because we deal with a lot of things and we deal with a lot of people every single Sunday when we pray for people. There's examples. And they just come so quickly that when you deal with so many of them, most of them you forget. The ones from my early years I remember because there wasn't that many. And I dealt with them, you know, individually. But these are the things that God allowed me to experience that taught me how this stuff works. And these are the things that I still fall back on because, you know, I had a good teacher. And my teacher was the Holy Spirit. And he knows and he understands how this stuff works. And I must be honest with you, I don't think there is a better teacher than him. The scripture that probably to me most speaks to us about this is Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. In the New International Version, it says, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. An undeserved curse. I think the King James Version says something to this effect. It says, a curse without a cause shall not come to light. Now, here's the thing. We would love for it to imply that there is no such a thing as a curse, but that's not biblical. Because even in the New Testament, curses are not dealt with as fairy tales, imaginary things that people made up. It is dealt with as a reality. But here's a very important thing. If the Bible says a curse without a cause shall not come to light, in other words, if you don't give a curse a place, it cannot sit on you, then the opposite is also true. A curse with cause will come to light. Now, these are the things that we need to understand because, you know, if you don't understand the basic principles of, let's refer to it as blessings and curses, then the chances are that right now you are not experiencing the blessing because there's too much place for the curse upon your life. You can't have both. Let's just get one thing straight. You can't be blessed and cursed because the curse will suck the blessing right out of your life. You first got to get rid of the curse so that the blessing can overpower you and the blessing can fill you. Now, a curse without a cause shall not come to light. But what if I'm a Christian? What if I am a child of God? What if I walk with God and I apply the word of God, etc., etc.? Well, it doesn't say there a Christian cannot be cursed. It says a curse without a cause. My friend, whether you like it or not, even Christians sometimes give place to the devil. And I always remind people, it is in the New Testament that it is said to us, we are taught by the Apostle Paul, speaking to believers, writing to the letters of the churches that worship Christ, he says, give the devil no place. Now, again, listen to this. An undeserved curse shall not come. A curse without a cause shall not come. In the New Testament, we are told, give the devil no cause, no place. So the fact is, even in the New Testament, we are warned that if we give him cause or we give him place, we will have to deal with him. Now, the problem is most people don't really understand where they have given cause or where they have given place. Not because God's word doesn't teach us, but because we don't know God's word. Or sometimes we like to take God's word out of context. Or sometimes we just get clever and all religious and we say, because I'm a child of God, I'm untouchable. Every time people give me that spiel, I see that they are very deceived already because it's not biblical. What is biblical is that if right now you are under a curse, if right now you have given the devil place, God has provided a way for you to come out from under it. God has allowed us to be set free. Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came for you. Jesus came for me. Some of us are captive. Some of us are brokenhearted. And some of us need to deal with those things in our life today. And with the help of Christ, the resurrected Son of God, and what He accomplished for us on the cross, we can do just that. Amen? I shared some of this the other night in one of my teachings, but I want to go back to it. Many years ago, I prayed for a gentleman. When he was brought to my house, he was very, very sick. The doctors could do nothing for him. He had been in hospital for a couple of months. He couldn't eat anything. His body would not hold anything in. He would bring everything up. He had severe pains all over his body, especially in his legs. He could not walk. It felt like there was daggers pushing up into his legs. And you know what? No matter how many tests they ran, they could not determine the cause of all of this, but they could see that the pain was real. They understood that he was experiencing these things, but they could not explain how this was working. There was also no real medical reason why his body would not hold food. It would come out. Eventually, the doctors sent him home because they said to his wife, listen, you're spending a fortune keeping your husband in hospital and there is really nothing that we can do for him. We are maintaining or treating the symptoms, but we cannot identify the cause, so we can't deal with his problem. And pretty much they told her that that's just the way he's going to have to live his life. She must take care of him to the best of her ability. And if things don't change, he's also not going to last very long. They brought him to my house. I spoke to him about a couple of things and it became clear. Now, let me just put it to you this way. When I spend time one-on-one with an individual, especially in a case like this where it's clear that the devil is very, very busy, because you must understand the devil is busy in this oak's life, then we need to try and determine where is the cause. If you look at this hall has a couple of doors. There's a door there, there's a door there, there's a door there. If there's a bunch of angry people outside that want to get to us, as long as the doors are closed, we're fairly safe inside. But if some schmuck opens the door, then we're in trouble. Do you agree with me? Now, that's what tends to happen in our lives. There's doors, but they're closed. God warns us, if you do this and this and this and this, it'll open the door. And when the door opens, a destructive force is going to come and mess with you. Then we have to identify what is it that caused the door to open, because until you don't deal with what caused the door to open, the door can't close. The door doesn't just close because you say, I'm closing all the doors. I'm kicking out every devil. You know, sometimes when we deal with certain people in the area of deliverance, we waste our time, and I'll tell you why. Because they keep coming for prayer to be delivered from demons or evil spirits, but they never change their ways. So today you come and we cast the devil out. Tomorrow you go back to the rubbish. The doors open again. It runs out the front door, comes back in the back door, and it's waiting for you. And your life never changes. And in the end, you can't help a person like that. So you have to identify what are the doors that is allowing this thing to come. Remember, Proverbs 26 verse 2, a curse without a cause cannot come. As long as there is cause, the curse has the right to be there. And it doesn't help that you try and argue with the thing and say to him, but I'm a child of God. I'm spirit filled. I've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. The devil is not interested in any of that. All he's going to say to you is, I have cause. And that settles it. In other words, what he's saying to you is, stop complaining that I'm in your house. You're leaving the door open. What do you expect? Close the door and then maybe we can talk again. So the guy came. And I began to speak to him about his life. I began to question him and trying to determine what the cause was. And let me just say that there was quite a bit of cause. He had a very, very quick temper. And he used to take his temper out on the people around him. He owned a business. And from what I could understand, and I said to him, you better be honest with me because you're in the dwang, yeah, and only God can help you. And if you lie to me, nothing is going to happen. So you better just call a spade a spade. And I tell you what, he sang like a canary. You spend a couple of months in hospital with nothing working and you forget about all your issues and your problems and even your pride disappears and you're willing to talk. So he told me, he says, he realizes that he's wrong, but this is how it is. He's not a very nice guy. He's always yelling at people, always screaming at people. Many times he knows he's unfair, and this is the way it is. And there was a whole bunch of other stuff. But I could see that if we are looking at it from the point of view that the devil has place, oh yes, the devil has place. And I said to him, would you say that in the process of you treating people this way, you might have rubbed somebody up the wrong way more than once to the point that they might have tried to get vengeance upon you? He said, well, yeah. There's been quite a few of the people working for him that told him, you're going to be sorry and you'll see and this and that and what. Now, here's what we have to understand. There is a certain type of person, you rub them up the wrong way, they punch you in the face. Boom, klar. Which doesn't sound nice, but at least it's dealt with right there and then. It's finished, it's klar. Then you get the other type of person, you rub them up the wrong way, you treat them unfairly and unkindly, they don't do nothing in your face, but behind your back they go see some witch doctor or some witch or some wizard or some sorcerer or somebody to try and get back at you that way. Now that's much more dangerous because the oak that just clapped you, he feels he's exacted his revenge, he walks out of there and it's sort of like it's over, okay? The one that goes to see the witch doctor, you have no idea what's going to come for you later. Now remember, the Bible says a curse without a cause shall not come to light. If you have truly been unfair, if you have truly treated them in a really, really horrible manner, then that would probably justify some sort of cause for something to come against you. Let's say, for example, I'm just giving you an example. You're supposed to pay the guy 5,000 rand a month. Because they forgot to wash the car, you deduct 1,000 rand from their pay. Would you agree with me that that's not fair? Now, if somebody was to go to some witch doctor and try and put something on you because of that, would it have place? Well, you're going to be very hard-pressed to explain to that demon why he can't mess with you, because the fact is, you've stolen money from that individual. And theft is one of the things that will give the devil place. So, we spoke about these things and I explained it to him and I said to him, you know what, here's the thing. You've opened a lot of doors and we better start praying about all of these things. Okay, so we prayed. And it didn't take very long for the first demon to begin to manifest. There was a lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, a lot of performing, and he began to vomit. One of the things that happens when you pray for people and people get delivered, and this you've seen many times when you've come to our meetings, people will begin to vomit. But I want to tell you something. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. This oak nearly filled a bucket. I don't even know where all this liquids came from, because taking into account that the oak can't eat. I mean, he really can't hold any food in. And it just kept coming out and coming out. And you know, it was a very funny color. It was almost a black color. And the smell, I tell you what, it was peeling the paint off the walls. My eyes were going squint. It's like yesterday. And you just knew that you knew that that smell tells you the devil is involved in what's coming out of this man. It's like really not good. And the one demon, the demons, as they manifested, I spoke to them and I said, who are you, who are you, who are you? And they gave me their names. I wrote their names down. And I asked, who is the strong man? And the strong man identified himself as the spirit of witchcraft. So yes, yeah, we were dealing with the spirit of witchcraft. And then the spirit confessed that the reason that he was messing with this guy was because of what he had done to his workers. And he told me that three of them had gone to see a sangoma, gone to see a witch doctor. And the witch doctor had put a curse upon this man, and this man was going to die. Well, the good news is, it's probably now 15 years later plus, and he's still alive and kicking, and he's doing pretty well. So what the devil wanted didn't happen, but it was a big eye-opener for this man. And it told me that there was stuff buried in his yard, but then it also told me that there was three gifts given to him. Each individual that went to the witch doctor had taken something to the witch doctor to have the witch doctor put something on it, like a spell or a curse or whatever. And then it was taken to him and given to him as a gift. Sometimes they say, beware of people bringing gifts. Especially when the gift has been blessed by the wrong side. Now, he didn't know that this was the case. To him, this was now some of his people working for him, and he was like, okay, fine. The thing identified the three objects. And later on, when I spoke to him about it, he said to me, yes, he has those three objects. All three of them are in his office. He hadn't been able to go to the office for months. And then when he thought about it, he came to the realization that that was where he always felt the worst. That's why he never went to the office, because he was at his worst. The sickness was at the worst when he used to go to the office. And then the thing also told me that something was buried in his backyard. To make a long story short, we dealt with all of that. I went to his house to pray for him the next day. Something very interesting. He used to go over to America a lot, and he had developed a fascination for the culture of the American Indians. And so, on his travels to America, because he did a lot of business in the United States, he used to go and collect a lot of paraphernalia that came from this culture. Now, a lot of the things that he brought back wasn't replicas. Yeah, that's the right word. It wasn't replicas. It was real things used by them. And some of them were used by their shamans. You know, they use shamans. We use witch doctors, this, that, that. That's their version of a medicine man, if I can put it to you that way. He also brought back a totem pole, which was used in some tribe that he bought off them and brought all the way to South Africa. Now, I must be honest with you, the thing was big and it was impressive looking. It was ugly as anything, but anyway, some hideous faces on that thing. So I walk into his house and I see all of the stuff. I say to him, oh my goodness, why did you bring all of this stuff? Oh no, he likes the stuff, and he likes everything to do with this, like, you know, these people in this culture. I said to him, but do you even know what the stuff is? Do you know what the stuff represents? He said, no. I said, well, to me, this represents the way they communicate with their ancestors and the spirit world and all sorts of stuff, and this is not from God. And you better deal with this stuff. And so he looked at me funny, but now taking into account what he's been through, he would rather not argue. He's like, okay, fine. If it has to go, it has to go. So he was waiting for me to get rid of it. I said, no, I didn't bring the stuff into this house. You did. Me, I'm just going to point out what's wrong. You're going to get rid of it. And you know, God is my witness. From the day before till that day, all the swelling in his legs had gone down and he could actually walk. It was amazing. But the moment he went up to some of those objects to try and pick them up, the symptoms came back. And he couldn't walk. And then I had to go and pray with him and rebuke whatever was affecting him until he could carry it out. And you know, just from carrying these things out, as he would walk out the door, he would convulse and begin to vomit, and more things would begin to come out of him. I was there a whole day praying with him in that house as all of these things were coming out. Deuteronomy chapter 27 verse 15 says, listen carefully. Cursed is the man who carves an image or casts an idol, a thing that is detestable to the Lord and the work of a craftsman's hands, and who sets it up in secret. In other words, it's talking about cursed is anyone who carves an idol, something that is prayed to, something that is worshipped that takes the place of God. Which also means that the object is cursed, which means if you bring that object into your house, you bring the curse into your house. Let me read you Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I'm going to read to you from verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 7, Verse 25, the images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, and do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. Now, the King James Version says, do not bring an accursed object into your house, lest you become accursed like it. Putting that in plain English, it says, don't bring a cursed object into your house because you will bring yourself under the same curse. That tells us something, that there are certain objects out there that God Himself has cursed because of what they represent. Anything that represents a false god, anything that represents an idol that people would set up and pray to, anything that in any way wants to take the place of God, that requires worship from an individual, that the worship does not go to God, is cursed by God. And if you bring that object into your house, and it doesn't say whether you know or you don't know, it doesn't matter. If you bring it into your house, you will come under that curse. And it's somehow going to start affecting your life. I was preaching on this stuff one night in a church. I was doing a series, sort of like I'm doing now. And there was a woman that attended these meetings, and to her, this was the biggest load of nonsense she'd ever heard. She actually told her husband that she doesn't believe any of this nonsense, that we're making all of this stuff up and we're taking the things in the Bible way too far and we take it too seriously and God never intended it to be like that, blah, 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 what. Funny how a bit of knowledge can sometimes work. What is the Word of God? The Word of God is truth. And what does the truth do? Well, it actually sets you free. So this woman goes home. Now, here's a bit of history. She suffered from severe depression. She suffered from severe sleep deprivation, total insomnia. She suffered from serious mood swings. Probably by today's standards, she would be described as being bipolar. Heavy problems in her life, really bad problems in her life. That night, as usual, she can't sleep. So she gets up, she starts walking through the house. And in their lounge, they had a whole bunch of these African masks. You know what I'm talking about. These masks that are carved out of wood, and it's like got these weird-looking faces, etc., etc. And she says she goes and she sits in the lounge. And while she's sitting there, she keeps getting the feeling that this one mask is staring at her. Of course, now she doesn't believe in this stuff because she's already told her husband this is nonsense. So this must be her imagination. She tries to ignore it, but the more she tries to ignore it, the more she's getting this very strong feeling it's staring at her. And then she looks directly at it, and as she looks at it, a pair of blood-red eyes begin to look back at her. She gave a yell that pierced the heavens. She kicked her husband out of bed. She made him take all the masks off and take them out of the house. 2 o'clock in the morning, she made him burn them. While he was burning them, she started feeling sick and she began to vomit. Things began to come out of her. By the following morning, she felt like a different person. After they got rid of the masks, based on the teachings that I had given, she and her husband went through the entire house, and if they even remotely suspected the devil could be involved, they burned it as well. They probably burnt a lot of things they didn't have to burn, but they were giving the devil a very strong message. We don't want you in this house anymore. Do you know what happened? From that night on, she slept. Do you know what else happened? Her depression disappeared. Do you know what else happened? Her personality changed. Her husband told me it's like he's married to somebody completely different. And he likes the new one much more than the old one. Yeah. I was preaching on the same stuff in a small little dorpie in the Free State. And there was a gentleman that sat there. He was listening to my teaching. And he came to speak to me. I was there for a couple of days. I think I was there for 3 or 4 days. On the Saturday, we had, I think, 3 or 4 sessions. I can't remember. Between 2 of the sessions, he comes to me. He says to me, listen, yeah, I've been listening to these things that you've been talking about. And me, I have a huge problem with my temper. I can just lose it for anything. And sometimes I get violent. And his wife had already divorced him because of that. He couldn't see his children because of that. He'd lost 1 or 2 jobs because of that. He had a lot of issues, a lot of problems. And he said to me, while you were talking about this, I started feeling strange. I started feeling funny. Now, of course, me, I'm standing there thinking to myself, I hope you don't feel like knocking my block off, because then this conversation is over, you know, just. And he said to me, can you please come to my house and just come and have a look, because I have a feeling that maybe I've got stuff that's not good. I said, all right, I don't have a lot of time. He says, don't worry, I'll just stay around the corner. Oh, okay, all right, fine. There we go. I walked into his house, and like the first gentleman had an infatuation with the Red Indians, this guy had an infatuation with the Egyptian culture. I walk into his lounge, everything is just Egyptian. He's got these statues of the pharaohs. Now, did you know that every pharaoh was considered a god, and they were to be worshipped as gods? What does the Bible say about false gods? Do not bring a false god into your house. He probably had 5 big statues of pharaohs. He had pyramids everywhere. He had Egyptian hieroglyphs. I said to him, do you know what this is supposed to represent? No, he doesn't have the foggiest idea. Neither did I. But who knows what rubbish was on his walls. He had, the Sphinx. He had sphinxes. He had these weird, you know, they've got most that guy. He looks like a man, but then he's got the face of a jackal or something. He had like some woman with a cat face, and he had all of these things which are Egyptian gods. Horus, the thing that looks like a man, but then it's got the face of an eagle. He had all of these things all over the place. And I want to say something to you. When you walked into his lounge, you could literally feel the life being sucked out of you. There was like a heavy, heavy atmosphere. So I took one look at that stuff and I said to him, well, I think you're right. You got problems. Because this stuff is not good. So then he tried to negotiate. It's like, okay, I'll get rid of that one and that one, but that one has sentimental value and that one. I said, look, you know, I'm not here to argue with you. I can only tell you the truth. You want my honest opinion? Based on what the Word of God says and what I've seen in the past through practical experience in people's lives? If you're not willing to get rid of everything, don't get rid of anything. If you want to keep it, keep it. But if you are convicted in your heart that this is not good for you and God is speaking to you, you better listen. The Bible says today, if you hear my voice, if you obey me, I will bless you. I said to him, right now you believe you are under the curse because you've lost your wife, you've lost your children, you've lost how many jobs? Nobody wants to talk to you. Everybody ignores you. You are cursed. The devil has alienated you from everybody. You want the blessing to come back? Push the curse out of your life. He pondered that a while and then eventually he said, okay, fine. That day he broke all of that stuff. What he could break, he broke. What he could burn, he burnt. Same thing. While it was breaking and while it was burning, and I told him, even the stuff that can't burn, you put it in the fire anyway. Whether it's going to burn or not, it's symbolic that you are breaking all ties with this stuff. He made a big bonfire, he put it on there. He started going ballistic. The stuff in him started charging up. It came out. Because he was giving a very strong signal to the devil, I have allowed you up to now, I will not allow you any further. The anger came out. The violence came out. The hatred and the bitterness that he used to walk around with came out. Oh yes, we took him through prayers to forgive people, etc., etc. But that day God set him free. And I want to say something based on this. A lot of times, the family curse is inherited. And this is important to say because sometimes, you know what, to some people this really is like fairy tales, but unfortunately it's not. It's biblical. Objects can carry a curse. And if you bring the cursed object into your house, you bring the curse into your house. And sometimes it's the object that your granny inherited from your great granny, your mother inherited it from your granny, you inherited it from your mother, and therefore we can't get rid of it because it's got serious sentimental value. And the devil is just so happy that it has sentimental value because that means he can stay for life. Your peace is worth more than the sentiment that you're holding on to. That's maybe the reason why your marriages never last. That could be the reason why your children don't respect you. That could be the reason why alcoholism can't get out of your house. The devil is very clever when it comes to objects, because he knows we hold on to them. I had another lady. She didn't live too far from here, probably about a kilometer or two away from here. Came to one of my meetings, and I was preaching on this stuff, and then she asked me if I could come to her house because she's suicidally depressed, tried to commit suicide twice, has no zeal for life, just like everything is too much bother. You know, she had no life. And she was tired of being like this. And she was hoping that, she'd been coming to church hoping that she would feel better, but she never felt any better. And then based on one of these sermons that I gave, maybe God just touched her heart. And she said, please, can you come to my house? Because it feels like her house is a pit. And every time she goes there, she gets sucked into this pit. And it's like just so depressing. I said, okay, fine. I went to her house. As I walk in the front door, guess what I'm greeted with? Okay, you're not going to necessarily guess it, but these two big fat Buddhas. It blows my mind. We're serving God, but we're proudly displaying Buddha. These two nice big fat Buddhas. So of course I point to the Buddhas and I say, but now what is this stuff? Oh no, they're very cute. And now and then she rubs their tummy because it gives her good luck. I say, well, that's not working very well, is it? You tried to commit suicide twice. You depressed all the time. People can be very deceived. I said to her, ma'am, I'm here to teach you the word of God. If you're going to take what I say, God bless you. If you're not going to take it, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it because I have to say what I have to say. What you do with it is between you and God. But you've got to get rid of the stuff. For heaven's sake, you're coming to church and you're asking God to help you. But you've got false gods in your house. Okay, fine. Interestingly enough, the place she tried to hang herself in front of the two Buddhas. Is that a coincidence? Me personally, I don't think so. I think the thing sitting on top of the two Buddhas, that's its seat of power in the house. It would always drag her towards that. That's where it messed with her mind. Broke it. Destroyed it. Her husband was very happy because he never wanted the stuff in his house in the first place. God healed her. God set her free. Now, here's the question. The depression that we're talking about, the anger that we're talking about, the frustrations that we're talking about, what these people were feeling, were these feelings truly them, or were they feeling the effect of something close to them in their proximity? Well, you see, the thing is, if you look at the stuff, it's possible that the anger that the man with all the Egyptian stuff had wasn't his anger. You must understand something. All demons are angry. They got kicked out of heaven, for goodness sakes. It would make you upset as well. They've lost all their rights. They've lost all their privileges. They just upset all the time. And the more of these things you have in you, the more upset and frustrated you become. The depression that these people were feeling. Man, I want to tell you something. There's probably nobody as depressed in this world as the devil. Firstly, he lost everything he had. And secondly, his future is not so bright, is it? So the more of these things you have with you, the more depression you're going to feel. Was it their depression or was the depression because of what was around them? You see, my personal opinion is the depression was because of what was around them. The anger was because of what was around them. The suicidal tendencies was because of what was around them. Doesn't the Bible say in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? You see, in this calling that God has called me to, I have had a lot of experiences of going into people's homes when there's big drama to go and pray for them. And then I have, I suppose, the privilege of seeing what is around them. And I never cease to be amazed at what Christians bring into their sphere of living when the Bible tells us not to. And then they sort of can't understand why things are not going very well. While my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Auntie, just before you fall asleep, can I use you as an example? You don't mind, do you? Come stand here with me. We know that this is Fatima 2, also known as number 2. The first time she came to one of my meetings was about probably close on 15 plus years ago. And we were having meetings about 20, 30 kilometers from here. And she came to the meetings, and I would say it was maybe the third or the fourth night that she attended. I was preaching on this stuff, and one of the things that I spoke about, there's a very interesting scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 27 verse 17 says, cursed is the man who moves his neighbor's boundary line. Have you ever heard that? It says, you know, back in the day, it wasn't like today where you buy a house and there's already a wall. There was like rocks that was put down. This is your property, that's my property. And if you were an unscrupulous type, in the middle of the night, you got up, you took the oak's rock, you moved it 100 yards that way, and you somehow claimed his land, you know? And then afterwards, if the oak complains, you just look, I didn't do nothing. This is where the stuff was. Now, God looks at that in a very, very serious light. So, as I preached about this, she remembered something that happened in her life. Can you maybe just, I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, yeah, but if you don't mind, tell them what happened.
Well, the property where my father built his house, the gentleman that sold him the property did that. So he moved the marks into, I don't know how far. And I remember as a child, 5 years old, my father spoken about that. And he brought a lot of problems.
Now, when she just came to us, you had a lot of weird sicknesses and problems and stuff. And that night, when I mentioned this, she remembered. Probably the Holy Spirit touched her heart and said, listen, yeah, but this is in your background. Do you still remember what happened when we started praying for you?
No, I don't want to remember, but it was.
Okay. She's not a big woman. Back then, she was even smaller than what she is now. And I'm not calling you fat or anything, all right, because you're not. But you can see she's tiny. But that night, it took like five people to pin her down. Because, and as a child, you were very, very sickly.
I was horrible sick. Any sickness possible, I had it. And my parents didn't know what to do with me. I got to a point where I would eat soil. I wouldn't eat food, but I would eat soil, you know.
When we prayed for her, the demon began to manifest. It came into their family because of this curse. Deuteronomy 27 verse 17, cursed is the man who moves his neighbor's boundary lines. Her father was involved in something where boundary lines were moved. Their family gained out of it, but actually they gained nothing. Because what the devil gave with the one hand, he took 50 times more with the other hand. Thank you so much. You know, sometimes we wonder whether the Bible is relevant. I want to tell you something is more relevant than what you think. And sometimes there's a reason why certain people, everything bad befalls them. Because a curse has place. And what gave the curse place must be dealt with. I mentioned witchcraft. On Sundays, I'm busy with a series on Christians and demons. And this Sunday, I gave a whole big lecture, if you want, on witchcraft. What is it? How does it work? Etc. Because a lot of people think witchcraft is just going to some weird oak sitting in the bush with funny, weird animal skins all over himself, speaking in weird languages and throwing bones. That's part of it, but it's much bigger than just that. Now, Leviticus 19, verse 31 says, "Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." In other words, God says, you want information? Don't go to the devil, he knows nothing. Come to me. Because if you go to him, you will be defiled by him. He will defile your life. Now, you must understand, where is the defilement going to come? Sometimes it goes to your marriage. Sometimes it goes to your health. Sometimes it goes to your finances. Sometimes it goes to your mind. Whatever gets defiled stops working the way it should. If you put dirt in an engine, can it run? So an engine that gets defiled gets broken. A person that gets defiled, something is going to break. Something that should be working right is going to stop working. Leviticus 20 verse 6 says, "I will set my face against the person who turns to mediums or spiritists to prostitute themselves by following them, and I will cut them off from my people." This is God speaking. You got to get the idea. God hates it when we mess around with this stuff. Yet people mess around with it all the time. Leviticus 20 verse 27 says, "A man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist amongst you must be put to death. You must stone them, and their blood must be on their own hands." This is scary. But this is how God feels about it. Now, here's my question. Why does God feel so strongly about it? Yes, the first thing is God is God. And he doesn't want you to replace him with anything else. But secondly, God knows how destructive this stuff is. And he, listen, yeah, do you want the best for your kids? Okay, now, imagine. Let's look at it from the point of view of a parent and a child. If you have a child and you have a pool, you're going to say to your child, you don't go there without supervision. And if they go there without supervision, what are you going to do? Twat, 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 twat. You're going to give them a hiding or something for them to learn, you better not go there because this is bad. Okay? There's going to be some kind of a consequence. Now, God is warning us. Because he's a parent and he doesn't want us to get hurt. You give your child some form of discipline because you love them and you don't want to see them get hurt. God doesn't want to see us get hurt. Because you see, the thing is, the moment you mess with it, I already said to you, you will get defiled. Something in your life is going to go dirty and it will stop working. And that will start pushing you away from God. I went to pray for a young guy. I think he was probably about, at the time, I would say he was in the region of 30 years old. Him and his wife had been married for 5 years or 6 years, if I remember correctly. And they had a problem conceiving. They wanted children from the very beginning. So there was no such thing as she was going to go on contraceptives, the pill, or anything to that effect. From the beginning, they had decided that they want to have a family, they are ready for all of this, and they had been trying and nothing happened. So, the wife came for prayer, for me to pray for her because they believe that probably she has a problem with infertility. And then I said to her, you know what, I don't have a problem praying for you, but I believe that we should be praying for you and your husband because the problem can be with either one of you. And in the conversation, it was arranged for me to come to their house to pray for them there. So I went there. And in speaking to them, I spoke to the young man, and I said to him, I explained to him about a curse without a cause shall not come to light. And I said, if we were to argue that the reason why you cannot conceive, why you are not fertile, is because of a curse, then we need to ask the question, where's the place? Because a curse without a cause shall not come to light. So what is the cause? Where did the devil get a doorway to come in to stop you from conceiving? And so in some questioning, it came out that when he was younger, in his teenage years, he dabbled with Satanism. He entered into quite a few satanic rituals. He called up demons and spirits. He used to sit in pentagrams and do stupid things. Now, he shared with me that mostly that was just done to irritate his mother. But the devil didn't look at it from that point of view. You mess with the devil's going to mess with you. And I said to him, you know what? Looking at it from this point of view, very few things in this world can give the devil more place than what you just explained to me now. Now, here's the thing. He messed with this stuff when he was in his teens, maybe 16, 17, 18 years old. Now, he's 30 years old. He's trying to conceive a child. Nothing is happening. Can this really still affect his life? Oh, boy, you should have been there to see what happened when I started praying for him. I have never heard sounds coming out of an individual like what I heard that day. When I started praying for this guy, this guttural, like, growl came out of him. Like, you know, sometimes you watch these funny, weird horror movies and there's this, like, really big monster and it's got this weird growl. I tell you what, it sounded exactly like something that Hollywood came up with. I have a suspicion Hollywood listened to somebody being delivered and then they copied that. And this man turned into he looked like an animal. His eyes went wild. He went berserk. And he wasn't a small guy. He was actually quite big. I thought he was going to break the whole place down. By the grace of God, we managed to sort things out and the thing came out of him. Do you want to hear the good news? 3 months later, or 2 months later, I got a phone call. They conceived. Guess when they conceived? Well, you know, the doctors can sort of pinpoint a date. Well, it was pretty much either that night or the night after or the night after, but it was within 3 days of that spirit coming out of him and the curse lifting off his life. But where did the curse come from? Something that he did probably halfway back in his life that never went away. He went to church. He sat in church every Sunday. He was spirit-filled. He spoke in tongues. But that doorway was never closed. The devil still had place. The devil was never dealt with. But God sorted them out. Praise God. I was invited to go to a Bible school. Actually, it's not a Bible school. It was a seminary where pastors get trained and taught the Word of God to go out and be pastors. And there was about 20 people in the class. I was asked to come and speak to them on the reality of deliverance, how people get infected by demonic problems, and how God helps to set them free, which I think is a very good thing for everybody that is going to go into ministry to know. Even if you don't feel it's your calling, you still need to know that this stuff is real and that people out there need help. Amen? Very interesting. So, while I'm busy speaking, there was a gentleman that seemed to fall asleep the whole time. So at break, I go up to him and I say to him, listen, yeah, you know, I can't help but notice, but am I boring you? He says, no, he's sorry, but he doesn't know why that happens. But many times when he's in church and like when I was speaking now, it's like he can't keep his eyes open. It's like he's just gone. I say, okay, so you say to me that this has happened before. Yeah, I know this happens every now and then. I said, now, have you prayed and asked God to help you with it? Oh, yeah, he's prayed many times, but it just keeps happening. So to him, that's just the way he is. I said, but does this happen any other time? No, he doesn't really think so. I say, so wait. Does this mainly happen when you go to church or when you're going to receive teaching on the Word of God? Yeah. I say, would you agree with me that that's not normal? Probably not. I say, then my suggestion to you is there is a demon in your life. You know, the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Now, the thing is, you can't know the truth if you're bombed by the time the truth comes. So the principal of the seminary was there. I called him and I said, listen, I need to talk to you about that student of yours. He said, okay, fine. I said, this and this and this is the situation, and I have a very strong suspicion that this individual has a demonic affliction in his life. And the principal said to me, no, it was very well documented that this oak sleeps through a lot of classes. But they don't know what to do with him anymore. I said, well, he needs to be delivered. So we called him in. I spoke to him. Again, a curse without a cause shall not come to light. So I'm starting to dig a bit. I want to understand, where were you exposed to the kind of things that could cause this? And then it came out. When he was young, in his preteen years, he had some weird disease. And they did go to the hospital for treatment, but his mother also took him to a sangoma. Because in their culture, they also placed value on the sangoma. And there was also offerings brought to the ancestors to sort the problem. Big problem. I asked him, what did the sangoma do? No, he cut him, yeah, he cut him, yeah, he cut him, yeah. I said, okay, fine, take off your clothes. I didn't make him strip everything, so just... But they like to cut them, yeah, behind the legs. They cut them, yeah. They cut them at the back of the head. You know, they've got places where they cut. I anointed every single place where he was cut. And I began to pray for him. This man started vibrating. You've never seen anything like it in your life. His whole body was like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He was bouncing up and down on the chair. He began to sweat. He began to drip with sweat. It looked like he had run the comrades five times over. This lasted for probably 20 minutes. And then it stopped. Do you know what happened after that? He stayed awake. And he also told me, interestingly enough, that he was a very good student at school. He was like one of those, like, let's just call it straight A students. Yet when he went into seminary, he failed. You see, the devil didn't mind him studying science, history. But the devil did mind him studying the Word of God. And he said to me, the funny thing was, he could never remember the stuff that he read. And he wasn't failing because he wasn't trying. He was trying, but he couldn't bring the stuff back. The devil put a block in him. But it was because he went to the rubbish, and the rubbish came out. Well, praise God. Now, I've just been told that I have 5 minutes left. But based on my notes, I still need another 4 hours. So I'm going to leave a lot of this for next week and probably the week after. What am I doing? I'm giving you some practical examples of what I've seen in the lives of people. Why am I doing this? Because I want you to think about your own life. I want you to look at your life. The Bible says a curse without a cause shall not come to light. There's always some cause. Sometimes, yes, I understand it's a bit difficult to determine. But God will help us. You know, if we pray and we ask the Lord to remind us, it's like she was in a church one day where I spoke about, I don't want to say a random verse, but a verse that to most people will mean nothing. But that day God touched her heart. And he reminded her of something that happened when she was 5 years old. Sometimes we need to hear these things for us to understand that the Word of God doesn't lie. These things are real and these things affect people's lives. Now, in closing, looking at the book of Galatians, chapter 3, and verse 13, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to repeat that just quickly. Christ redeemed us from the curse. What does the word redeemed mean? It means to be bought back. Okay? Like, sometimes you have to redeem your credits or your tokens or your money or something. You give something and then they give you something back. Okay. The Bible says Jesus redeemed us. He gave his life so that we could get back his life. How can I put this? Based on the life that Jesus lived, he deserved the blessing. Okay? But he willingly gave that up to receive the curse that we deserve upon himself and exchange it for his blessing. That's what it means when it says Jesus redeemed us from the curse. God never said there's no curse. God simply says, I've provided a way out from under the curse. So Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. You know, there's a lot of people that say there's no such thing as a curse. Well, now you're blaspheming. Because Jesus believed enough in the curse that he was willing to become one to liberate you from yours. Don't tell me there's no curses. Then Jesus wasted his time. And I want to tell you something. He didn't waste his time. He did it for you, for me, to be free. But you see, here's the sad thing. There's people sitting in churches all over the world that have the opportunity to be set free, that have the opportunity to be liberated, but they will never be liberated because they don't believe. And that's sad. So, he redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He redeemed us. He brought us back so that the blessing given to Abraham can come upon us. Because of what Jesus did. Because he was nailed to that cross. Because he gave his life on that cross. Because he was on that cross when the sun went black and darkness came upon the earth. He became cursed for you to become blessed. Now, if you are not blessed right now, there's a reason for it. And you need to understand the reason, because the reason means there's a door open somewhere and the door must be closed. When the door is closed, you see, here's the thing. A lot of people want to kick the thief out, but they never bother to close the door that he came in through in the first place. So what happens? By the time you go sit to watch TV again, he's sitting right next to you like, let's see what I can run away with now. Did somebody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand, please.